G20 finance ministers meet this weekend amid warnings that trade wars could break out. This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Susanna Streeter. Good morning. Finance ministers and central bank governors from around the world are heading to Argentina for a key economic meeting this weekend. Top of the agenda at the G20 finance summit in Buenos Aires looks likely to be the increasing protectionist stance of US President Donald Trump. It comes after warnings from the International Monetary Fund chief Christine Lagarde, who said moves to restrict trade threaten to slow the current global economic expansion. Chris Watling, CEO of Longview Economics, says Mr. Trump's stance towards China is too simplistic.
There are unfair trade practices in the world, and the WTO perhaps doesn't have as much bite as one would hope. There are points. I mean, China subsidises all sorts of industries. There's too much steel capacity in the world, and part of that is because China keeps businesses that are basically loss-making going. There is something to what he says. I just think it misses the main point. The problem is misdiagnosed. It's not simply a case of, you know, we have a $100 billion deficit, you're clearly doing better than we are. It's a reflection, I think, of overconsumption in the US and undersaving.
Economist Chris Watling there. Let's do the numbers. It's really choppy out there. Shares in Asia have fallen as traders remain queasy about possible trade wars. So far in Europe, indices are heading for calmer waters, staying in positive territory. Now, did you get enough sleep last night? You might worry that a lack of shut-eye will, over the long term, affect your health. But what about your performance at work? A new study puts a figure on the economic loss of sleeplessness. Across the UK, the US, Canada, Germany and Japan, it's estimated at $680 billion a year. On World Sleep Day, Dr. Marco Hafner, senior economist at RAND Europe, explains how the research was carried out.
If you don't sleep enough, it affects your health and it also affects your productivity at work. Based on that, we built an economic model that tries to assess the economic impact of insufficient sleep. And within that, we look at two effects mainly. The one is mortality. So we know that people who don't sleep enough are more likely to die at any given point in time. And that obviously reduces the labor supply of an economy. If people who don't sleep enough, they're less productive at work, which subsequently also has a negative consequences for companies and subsequently on aggregate for the economy.
But there are quite a few factors that can disrupt sleep, including alcohol and the lack of physical activity. Anything else?
Yes, very important is that individuals should limit their use of electronic devices before they go to bed. Tablets and smartphones, they expose you to blue light, which is suppressing the production of the sleep hormone melatonin. So if you use extensively those electronic devices in your bedroom and before you go to bed, that definitely has a negative effect on your sleep quality and your sleep duration.
We've been told, Dr. Marco Hafner there. There's been a lot of talk about the gender pay gap around the world, and in many places, huge barriers prevent women achieving their full potential. In Nigeria, for example, more than 10 million children aren't in education, many of them are girls. To try and change things, there's a girl empowerment initiative underway in Kano, in the north of the country. The BBC's Ijoma Ndukwe reports.
Yeah. Behind me, there are about 27 children, mainly girls, standing around a table in a school courtyard. So the girls are watching a woman demonstrate how to make Vaseline, a useful skill that will help them generate an income while they're at school. Because although public education is free, there are a number of hidden costs, like the cost of transport, uniforms, and books, which can become a financial burden. This is Aisha Abdullahi. For the past 5 months, the 14-year-old student has been coming to these vocational workshops run by the Issa Wali Empowerment Initiative, or EWE. Petroleum jelly is a popular moisturiser during the current dry season in northern Nigeria. She's explaining to the other children how she's earning an income from producing and selling products.
I split my profit into three. I use one part for myself, I invest the second part, and I save the third part. I use what I save for my school needs.
All the girls here attend school. It's one of the conditions of joining the workshops. Amina Hanga manages the Iwe program. She explains why there are millions of school-aged children not in education in Nigeria and why the majority of them are girls.
Some of the reasons is poverty. Still in the rural communities, especially, not taking education is important, especially for the girl child. They think it's a waste of scarce resources and it's better to just marry her off.
Critics of government policy point to the lack of spending on education. Only 7% of Nigeria's 2018 national budget will be spent on education. Back at the Iwe workshop, girls are sitting on colourful mats during an English literacy class. It's thought that more programs like this, where girls' education is promoted alongside ways to build financial independence, could bring about change and help break Nigeria's cycle of poverty.
The BBC's Ijoma Ndukwe reporting there. And finally, all that glitters really was gold on a runway in Siberia. The Antonov plane lost its precious metals load on takeoff when the cargo door flew open. But treasure seekers may be disappointed, as police say they have now found all of the gold. In London, I'm Susanna Streeter with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Goodbye.